I'm a 13-year-old bringing real rap back. You gotta check me out. I knew right then this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. But you keep trying to poke the bear. And you know, the African Mind came out. Where all you do is think about music.
What's going on, guys? We're back with another episode of BET Talks. I'm your host, Mia Bell, and today's guest is intentionally holding down this new era of hip-hop with his classic sound and, of course, his poetic lyrics representing North Carolina. And here to celebrate his classic collaborative album, with the legendary Ninth Wonder, is Reuben Vincent.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank y'all for having me, man.
Of course.
It feels good. It's a good season right now.
Absolutely. And we're here to celebrate you and how much the legends love you, too.
Hey, shout out to the legends, man.
And, you know, we're going to start off with the game to really test your knowledge on all the classic sounds that you bring to us. All right. Now, this is called This or That, the black classic version, of course.
Ooh, okay.
And all you have to do is choose one and tell us why.
All right, let's get it.
You cool with that?
Yeah. Let's get it.
Poetic Justice. Brown Sugar.
I'm going to say Brown Sugar because Dre and Sydney, we just put out Dre and Sydney. It's very relatable to my life, the Brown Sugar movie. It lines up with stuff I got going on personally, but Poetic Justice is top tier. Shout out to Tupac. Legendary. He passed away when he was 25, you know what I'm saying? I'm about to be 25, you know what I'm saying? Just to see the trail that he blazed, like hip-hop, poetic, acting, just being an activist, like that's what I aspire to be. But Brown Sugar, I'm gonna go with Brown Sugar because it relates more to me, for sure.
We love it.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the funny black movies, Friday versus Don't Be a Menace.
Friday.
All day, Friday. You passionate about that,
you know
one, why?
Man, Friday is just a classic. I remember I used to watch it at my grandma's crib. You know what I'm saying? Smokey, you know, everybody know a Smokey, everybody know a Craig, you know what I'm saying? He ain't got no job, you feel me? Like, yeah, Friday.
Now when it comes to you, Myers Park.
Ooh.
Welcome home.
Welcome home, baby. The reason why I say welcome home, though, is because it's the maturity, it's the evolution. You know, I've evolved so much from Myers Park, but Myers Park was the beginning, it was the core, but this is like the new and improved with that.
I want you to take us back to the beginning because we're learning so much about you. You're Liberian.
Yeah.
First generation at that.
Yeah, L.I.B.
And you came out with your first mixtape at 13. Idol Lesson.
Ooh.
Very intentional.
You hit.
You're intentional, and it matters. So I want you to take us back to that point in your life.
Being raised in a West African home, my mom and dad weren't together, but my dad was always in my life. Shout out to my pops for that, always, you know what I mean? I lived with my mom. She was a single mother. She was working three jobs, and I was always passionate about rapping, so I'd take my little laptop, my little Apple headphones, you know, the little microphone. I was recording with that.
Okay.
And I put a mixtape out, did the album cover, made some of the beats, and I titled it Adolescent. And I put it online, and you know, I used to spam people like, yo, I'm a 13-year-old bringing real rap back. You gotta check me out. And nobody was replying. But, you know, for a week, I was like, man, I'm gonna just be a kid. But I kept my Twitter up because my cousin told me to. And somebody from Oakland, California, I had never been to Oakland, had found the mixtape, and Ninth was doing a Q&A on Twitter. And somebody was like, I don't got no question for you, but there's this kid I found online from North Carolina. I don't know this kid from nowhere. I have no dog in this fight, but you need to go pick him up. And I went on my laptop when I got back home, and I had like 20 notifications on Twitter. And then I scrolled all the way down. Ninth Wonder just followed you. Rhapsody just followed you. And then he was like, yo, hit me in the DM. You know, so
this is all at 13, 14 years old.
Wow. 13 years old. And mind you, at the time, like again, my mom was a single mother. She worked in three jobs trying to keep the lights on. So it was a lot of hardships happening at the time, but it was a blessing in disguise because, you know, it was divine. And I feel like God works in mysterious ways because the fact that man didn't know who I was, and, you know, was like, yo, I don't know this kid, but you need to hear him, that, you know, he don't even know how much of a blessing he was to me. So Ninth DM'd me, I said, yo, I'm like, I was geeking, you know what I mean? My mom being an African, she don't know who Ninth Wonder is, but I'm like, mom, Ninth Wonder just DM'd me. She like, who is Ninth Wonder? I'm like, look him up, Wikipedia. She's like, well, DM him back. So he was like, where is your mother? I'm not about to be talking to no 13-year-old on the internet, you know what I mean? So he talked to my mom, he was like, yo, your kid got talent, you know, I know his, like, quality isn't all the way there, so you know, I just want to give him a space to record. I'm on tour in London right now, but when I get back, y'all drive to Raleigh, which is like 2 hours away from Charlotte, and y'all come up for the weekend. I want to see what he got. So I prepped myself. I wrote like mad songs, mm-hmm. but then somehow my notebook got lost right before I was about to go up there.
And your mom was cool with taking you?
Yeah, she was cool. My mom never pressured me to be a doctor and all that stuff. She wanted me to go to school for sure and graduate, but she knew this is what I loved. You know what I mean? Right. So she was just like, you know, I'm gonna support him all the way. I had lost my notebook the day before I was about to go up there. So in the car, I'm just writing. We get there that weekend, I record 9 songs in 3 days and produce the beat on a machine that I had never touched before. I ain't never touched a machine before. Mm-hmm. And Knife was just mad impressed. And he told my mom, he was like, I can't promise him nothing, but can he be big as a Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole? Absolutely, mm-hmm. but it's up to him. So he brought me in the room. He was like, look, you're young right now. I still want you to go to school, still want you to be a kid. But if this is what you want to do, we'll help you. I knew right then this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. But I took it back, kept building a relationship with him in Rhapsody. And then when I was 16, they signed me to Jamla.
And walk us through what happens next, because that story right there is rare within itself.
Super rare.
4 followers on Twitter.
Yeah, like nobody knew who I was. Yo,
right.
So I turned 16. You know the So Gone challenge they were doing that one time with the
Yes.
Could be. I had freestyled on it and I posted a video.
Smart.
And he saw it and he was like, yo, you ready now? Like, he seen like I had started to breathe a little bit more, because when I was younger, I just used to be rippity rap, rap, rap. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But he was like, it seemed like you know how to do structure now. Come to the studio. And I was working at Chick-fil-A at the time. And I remember I went to my boss and I was like, yo, like, can I get the spring break off? Because I'm trying to go up to Knife Wonder. You know, he about to have me do-do-do. They said no. So I remember they had me squeezing lemons in the back, making a lemonade. Mm. That was my last shift. I remember in my head, I was like, I ain't coming back here at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I end up going up there for spring break. And then, you know, that whole week, I just recorded stuff. And then he was like, yo, I think it's time. We want to bring you on the team. And I'm thinking that it was over with, like I'm up now, but that's not the reality, right?
Right.
So I went back to school and then I got a job at Chipotle. They did the same thing, had me working late hours. I was working like 40 hours at 16. I've always been a hard worker though. One day I quit because they just had me working late. My grades was like dropping. My mom was playing about that.
Yeah, you're a teenager.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I was like, nah. And then the day I quit, Swizz Beatz followed me on Instagram.
Wow.
And was like, yo, I just heard the project you and Knife put out. He was tagging me. He was studying at Harvard at the time. He was like, my morning music is Reuben Vincent. I remember he put on his story, he had a McLaren. Mm-hmm. He was in the McLaren, he playing my song. He was like, I'm gonna tell you the same thing I told Kendrick Lamar 5 years ago. And I remember him and Knife was in a group chat sending me beats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 16, like, I'm like, what is my life right now?
Right.
You know what I mean?
What?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing also is that these are the moments that kept you going.
Yeah, absolutely.
And these are the moments that allowed you to push through high school.
Yeah.
And finish, you know, the teenage things that you had to do, like working at Chipotle.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I worked at Chipotle. Worked at Old Navy,
mm-hmm.
worked at the grocery store. Because, you know, coming from where I came from, seeing my mom struggle, I was like, yo, I gotta work. You know what I mean? Whether it's the music, whether it's a job, something, I gotta work. You know, so.
That's important, especially for the artists coming up now. Yeah. So, moving forward, you have all this going on, and then college comes about.
Boom. Yep. Went to A&T, went to HBCU.
Mm-hmm. How did that shape you?
Man, black experience. Ain't nothing better than the black experience.
Right.
My original high school was Rocky River. When we had moved because of, you know, the financial situation, I had to move to Myers Park. My mom wanted us to go to a good school.
Right.
And it was a predominantly white school. That's why when people go back and listen to Myers Park, I talk about systematic racism in it. I talk about police brutality, being a young black man, like all of this in that project. And I feel like, you know, I was like, yo, I gotta go back to a HBCU. I can't go to no PWI. I need to go get the full black experience.
Yeah.
So I went to A&T and I was studying business IT. I had like a 3.5 GPA or something like that.
Come on with it.
Yeah. I don't play about them books, you mm-hmm. know, but I still was very passionate about rap. Before I went to college, actually, I graduated high school 6 months early so I could go on the road with Rhapsody and watch her like be in the studio working on her album, go take meetings just so I could learn the game. But that gave me the itch even more. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, man, forget school. But I was like, I'm gonna do it for my mom. And then during my freshman year, Rap took me on tour for spring break. I did 5 shows with her. And then after that, COVID happened.
Right after such a big
high
for you.
Yeah, once a big high, it was like, yo, COVID. Literally on our last day of tour, it was COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So my freshman year was over. Going into my sophomore year, I went back home. And when I went back home, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just buy equipment. It's COVID. I can't go nowhere. Let me just record and do online school. And then one time Rap was like, yo, come with me to LA. So I went with her to LA and I linked Young Guru.
Yes.
Yeah, we went to Young Guru's
crib.
Another
legend.
Facts, super legend. It's funny, Rap was doing some little, I'ma leave my little brother at my homie's crib type of thing. Like, you stay here, I'll be back. And I was like, all right, bet, whatever. So me and him just kicking it. And he put some beats on. I was like, yo, can I rap? He was like, yeah. He put the mic on and I just spit. And he was like, yo, what are you doing right now? I was like, well, I'm just online on school. He was like, how long can you stay out here? I was like, I can stay for however long you need.
Ask my mom. She's cool
for real.
With it.
Yeah, for real. So I called my mom. I'm like, yo, mom, I know I was saying I was staying out here for a week, but I'm about to stay out here for 2 months. I ended up staying out there for 2 months with Guru, working on music. Went to the Rock Nation office, played them some music with rap. They was impressed. I came back to the city and, you know, I had shot a video before I even left that I had like directed myself. A lot of my videos are like, I write the treatments for. So I put this video out. It's called State of Mind. I sampled Nas, New York State of Mind. Mm-hmm. The president of Rock at the time, Omar Grant, called Knight and was like, yo, this kid you got, you need to help him. So that was my sophomore year. And then I remember the deal took forever, but I didn't tell my mom because I wanted to surprise her.
Yeah.
But I had stopped going to my classes online. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I know she ain't gonna feel, but I'm like, I got a deal though, so like, whatever. So for 6 months, she didn't know that I was out of school. And I remember I was in the gym one time and she called me. She was like, Ruben, did you register for classes next semester? I was like, no. And then she was like, why? I was like, well, I'm about to focus on music. And you know, the African Mind came out. Where? All you do is think about music. I said, so then I snapped because she know that's not true. She know when she say that, she trying to poke a little.
Right.
So I said, of course you, all you think about is music when you got a Rock Nation deal on the table.
Oh.
And then she was like.
Just like that.
Yeah, she was like, what? Because I ain't never talked to my mom like that. She was like, what? And I was like, I was trying to surprise you, but you keep trying to poke the bear.
Mm-hmm.
So she supported from there. She was like, well, you know, if you ain't going to go back to school, I support it. So I inked that deal. The rest is history. I'm here now.
The rest is history. And now you're home. What a story.
Yeah, for sure.
That's so inspiring.
Super.
And it brings me to ask what your process was when it came to this album, because you're sharing a lot of stories. It sounds like we're reading your journal.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously I had got the deal in 2021, 2022. Went on tour, Pusha T, did a whole bunch of stuff, Dreamville, got to, you know, get a lot of dope experiences early. I had a great year one time, money was coming in, things were just going back and forth, and then the music industry took a change right in the middle of my last project, General Admission. So things started to slow down where I had been traveling so much, LA, New York, this place. I had to kind of recenter last year in 2024 and come back to Charlotte, back to my mama crib. And it humbled me. I was frustrated though, because I felt like, you know, everybody was like, yo, you an ill MC, but we need a hit.
Right.
So I started losing my mind trying to please everybody. And I remember one day I called Knife and I was telling him all my frustrations, how I felt about such and such, the support I needed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, did I fumble? People knew who I was and stuff, but it didn't hit that peak that I wanted to, where people was like, yo, Ruben Vincent is next. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he was like, nah, man. He was like, it's just a part of the experience. And he was like, come on home, which obviously I was already in Charlotte, but he meant like come back to Raleigh where we started everything. So he was like, yo, let's work on a record together. So I remember the first song we did, which is called Issa D on the project. I remember I did it at my crib and I sent it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, welcome home, Ruben Vincent. And I said,
wow.
That's the album name. So for this whole album, I slept in the studio, had all my suitcases. I packed my big Jeep up, put all my clothes in there, slept in the studio, showered in the studio. My routine was literally wake up in the morning, pray, go to the gym, come back, take a shower, maybe take a walk, record.
Yeah.
For 6 months straight. And through that process, I went through a lot of realizations of who I was and my identity and being authentic and who Ruben Vincent is. You know, I sat in that studio with Knife. We went through a lot of classic records, classic music videos, classic films, and we came up with Welcome Home, emulating everything that reminded me of home and where I started and what's at the core of Ruben Vincent.
Yeah, and the core of Ruben Vincent really starts with the classics.
Yes.
For real.
Absolutely.
You have so many amazing samples on there.
Yes.
That a lot of people can't get.
No.
So that says a lot about your artistry and who you are.
Absolutely.
So we're gonna play another game called What You Know About That. Okay?
Okay.
So
like
I'm gonna name the sample.
Yeah.
And then you tell me about the record on your album.
Okay?
Distant Lover, Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye, man, I love Marvin Gaye. When we got in the studio, you know, we were just finding samples that resonated with me from like what I heard my mom playing, my uncles playing, or even stuff that me and Knife, you know what I'm saying, both shared an interest in. And you know, Distant Lover, man, that's just a legendary sample.
That's one of those.
Shout out to Marvin Gaye, one of the legends, man. Rest in peace to Marvin Gaye too.
Dre and Sydney,
exactly, exactly. So when he did the beat, ironically, we didn't go into it like, yo, this gonna be called Dre and Sydney, right? But then I was like, when he said Distant Lover, I'm like, baby, how we so close but so far? I just want to come home to you, shawty, trying to get you alone. There's no party. But we had already been doing, like, records about, you know, women at that time. We was, like, in a bag, like, where we did, like, a few of that pocket. Mm-hmm. So I was like, how can I flip this on his head? And I was like, man, like, I can talk about my love for a woman and my love for hip-hop simultaneously with this record.
Yeah.
And so then we got in the studio, I wrote that verse, and then it was off to the races after that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, where I want to be, Donnell Jones.
Ooh,
what you know about that?
That's another classic. Yo, he was scheming, though. That's a toxic song. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Real toxic.
That's a super toxic song. Just left my baby girl a message. That became a people's favorite, but that was my least favorite song when I recorded it.
Why?
Because I didn't write that. I did it all up here, like I was just, you know, on the microphone or freestyling, playing around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you sit and pen, you can go back and edit and stuff like that. And then I was like, maybe I could have did better on my verses. But everybody that I talked to was like, I just feel good. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It just feel natural. You know what I mean? And it's grown on me a lot. But Donnell Jones, another legend. And he actually commented on my page, too. Show me some love.
Of course.
The record. Yeah.
Yeah, you're reviving the classics that we used to love and still love.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, too, about that is I'm introducing it to a new generation.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Your generation.
Yeah.
Now, the features that you have on the project, too, exceptional.
Yeah. Thank you.
Absol, Wale, you brought Raphael Sadiq out of the dungeon, wherever he was.
Yes.
So many people.
The legend, man. It's funny, I just made a post yesterday because, you know, rest in peace to D'Angelo.
Mm-hmm.
I have a blanket on my bed that I've been sleeping with for the last 3 years, and he got Mos Def on there. D'Angelo, Erykah Badu, Raphael Sadiq, Bilal,
wow.
Common, all the Soulquarians.
Yes.
Like, yes. For Raphael to even get on the album is like a milestone for me because I was raised off Tony. You know what I mean?
And
I was raised off of You Should Be Here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? All of those classic records. Nobody's doing what we're doing right now.
At all.
You know what I mean? And I feel like even with Wale, it's kind of like passing the torch. It's a different connection because, you know, he's obviously an MC, fly, love sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he comes through the rock pipeline, but he's also West African.
Yep.
Even to have him just give me the honor to be on my record is like, you know, the passing of the torch.
What allows you to be so self-aware at such a young age?
It's a few things. One of them is for sure how I was raised. You know, I'm the oldest child for my mom, and I'm the second oldest for my dad, but still, I'm the oldest, so I was always aware.
Right.
I was always inquisitive, always trying to figure stuff out, and then also, too, like, I meditate a lot. So, like, you know, it kind of gives me this grounding to, like, make sure I'm being present and aware of what's around me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, with the artists who are on the project, too, it's respect to you and, you know, your artistry and what you've been able to do. They respect your lyricism.
Yeah.
You going toe-to-toe with them,
yeah.
But in a collaborative way.
For sure.
What are some messages that they have given you about your artistry that you're able to hold on to?
Absol told me when we was in the studio, he was like, don't overthink it. You already a Jedi with the pen. You don't need to overthink it. And then one thing Ninth told me when we first started the project was like, everybody knows you can rap already.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to really make songs. And once he said that, I said, okay, all right, bet. All right, you know, because he was right, you know what I mean? And I felt that way too. Like, I done proved to everybody I can rap. I done proved to everybody that I'm a lyricist, but I felt like people were sleeping on my songwriting ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Writing hooks and stuff like that. And I think, you know, those two keys really helped me throughout this process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you want to manifest from this album?
Ooh.
Be really intentional, because you are on BET Talks, okay? And what you say here happens in real life.
Grammy.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Grammy, critically acclaimed classic album.
Come on.
Album to be able to take me here and take me back home to Africa. And I just want to be one of them artists of my generation that stand the test of time. You know, I just want this to separate me from my class and put me in a space where, you know, I just continue to elevate and evolve.
Absolutely, and it's already being done. Congratulations,
yeah,
Reuben Vincent.
You.
You're doing the work,
thank
and
you.
It's resonating with the people, and we can't wait to see where you go next.
Hey, let's
it's
get
BET
it.
BET Talks.
Yeah.
Yep.